Welcome to Lessons I've Learned, a series of podcasts by global consultant, best-selling author, and former Harvard Business School professor, David Maister.
Hello, I'm David Maister. This series of 15 podcasts is called Managing Professionals: Attitudes, Skills, and Behaviors. It's designed to help people who have the responsibility for managing a group of professionals. Many people believe that professionals are a special breed for whom special management theories need to be developed. My experience is that whether or not you are a professional is not about what degrees you have, but what attitudes you bring to your work. So even though I work mostly with highly paid people like investment bankers, consultants, accountants, and PR people, in this first episode called A Natural Manager, I'd like to tell you about Jerry Labutt, the manager of an exercise gym in downtown Boston, where I live. And the gym has 4 full-time and 4 part-time personal trainers. I'll tell you Jerry's story, then I'll point out the excellent management principles he understands and applies, even though he has no formal training in the field. As you listen to the story, why don't you also watch out for Jerry's lessons? Jerry told me that he never wanted to get involved in business. Born in Brazil, he's lived in the USA since he was 12 years old. He remembers coming on the plane, not speaking a word of English, and asking the cabin attendant for some agua, water. And she brought him some Sprite. And he thought to himself, this is going to be a great country. You ask for water and you get Sprite. Wow. He got his undergraduate degree as an exercise physiologist, went to work at a major chain of gyms, and then moved on to the place he works now. After only 2 or 3 months there, his family asked him to come and run their family food business. And after doing that for a couple of years, the owner of the gym where he had worked approached him to come back. So he sat down with his parents, and they decided to sell off the business. His dad and his mom retired, and in May 2004, Jerry went full-time with the gym. By June the 15th, they had made Jerry the manager at the age of 27 years old. When he took over, the staff in the gym were not satisfied with their hours, how they were being treated, being cared for, their scheduling, or their pay. A trainer would typically work in this industry from 6 a.m. until 8 p.m., with some hours off during the day. Even if you didn't have a client, the owners of this gym wanted you to stay on the premises until quitting time. They would do things like making an appointment without telling you, so that you had to change your personal plans. Jerry says he's always believed that training's a business which is run by the trainers. If they do things right, your business will flourish. So, to make money, he had to increase the level of service to clients, and the only way to do that was to improve the quality of their job for the trainers. He had to change the environment they were working in. Before he came in, the owners did all the hiring of the trainers. Jerry went to them and made his case that he couldn't really manage the business well unless he could choose the people he believed in, the people he thought could meet his standards, and that he thought would operate the way he wanted them to operate. He didn't want to insult the owners, he told me, but he put his case to them in terms of improving the bottom line. He said to them, "You're not in the center of all this. I am. I know everyone's personality. I can figure out who'll communicate well with the other trainers and who won't." Anyway, the owners, to their credit, accepted his argument and let him do his own hiring. Now, just when he first came in, all 3 of the existing trainers were just in the process of giving in their notice of resignation due to the way they had been treated before. He persuaded 2 of them to postpone their departure so he could do some new hiring. Actually, the first new hire after he came in was someone the owners had selected, but Jerry could see that the new person had what it takes. Jerry liked him straight away. The owners then told Jerry they had hired a second person, but when Jerry asked the new hire about what he wanted to do with his career, the new guy made it clear that the gym was obviously just a transitional job for him. Jerry told the owners it wasn't going to work, and the owner said, "Give it 6 to 12 months." Jerry did work with the guy, and the other person did become a good trainer. Jerry supported him in getting his certification, knowing that that would only speed up the day when the young trainer would resign to move on. And that's what happened. Jerry now had 2 part-timers he could use, but needed to start hiring. In this industry, Jerry says, there's a lot of bait and switch with employees. They're told one thing before they're hired, but then discover that the reality is different once they start work. For example, people are promised 40-hour work weeks, but the reality is that it's almost always closer to 60 to 65-hour weeks. It's common for every single person on the staff to feel cheated within weeks of coming to work. Trainers, Jerry says, are a very special kind of person. They have strong personalities. They're athletic. They play sports, and as a result of all this, some of them can be a little rough around the edges in dealing with clients. Jerry said he only wanted to hire people who shared his philosophy of personal training. Some gyms and some trainers are just out to get clients to sign up for more classes. But Jerry says he's committed to passing on the knowledge he has about exercise, fitness, the body, and health. He believes you train because you want to help educate clients for their lifetime. You want to give them things they can and will do on their own and use for the rest of their lives. A lot of competitors in this business, he says, just get caught up in the numbers, percent body fat and things like that. But Jerry thinks it's not about the numbers. It's about helping people integrate new things into their life. He always asks himself, can this client do this repetitively? Let's make them understand that it's a commitment they have to make. When Jerry hires people, he looks for this same attitude. He asks potential new hires, if you were not doing this, what else would you be doing? He says he's looking for people who feel passionate about all of this. Jerry says excitedly, the body is so amazing, and the more you learn, the more you want to know. The adaptations it goes through as you stress it and develop it are really fascinating. And when he hires, he says he's looking for people who share that fascination. He says he can always tell if it's a rehearsed answer. Jerry requires that every new hire has a bachelor's degree in physiology, not just a certification. Many other gyms will let people have just a certificate, not at Jerry's place. Jerry knew that he had to set out to make his gym the best. And that wasn't going to be measured by the number of operating sites, but giving the highest client satisfaction. His first full-time hire was someone who'd heard from a friend that Jerry's gym was becoming a great place to work. For that person, it meant a 45-minute drive each way from his hometown. And Jerry asked him if he could handle that. But the guy said no problem because he really wanted to come to work with Jerry. Now, Jerry begins by laying down his expectations with everyone. He's very clear on the hours expected. He shows everyone exactly how to clean the locker room, to take appointments, how to talk with clients, how to resolve conflicts. He created an evaluation form, which he goes over in detail with everyone. It contains, for his business, five categories. Punctuality, for example. Jerry's inflexible rule is that the trainer must be there before the client, so if it's a 3 p.m. appointment, he expects the trainer to be in the gym ready to roll by 2:45. He asks his people, is this all clear? Do you understand the expectations? The other performance categories are floor performance, team orientation, technical skill and knowledge, and administration. Jerry says he doesn't have a problem monitoring performance. If something's not being done to his standards, he just comes to the person and asks, do I have to show you again how to do it? Do you have any questions on how to do it? If not, then I expect you to do it. It's black or white. Jerry devised a training program for his trainers. For 2 weeks, they have to be clients of the gym and be trained by the existing trainers. He wants them to have a healthy dose of what it feels like to be a client, how you like to be talked to, recognized, responded to. And then the new people have to guide one of the experienced trainers through their fitness routine so the experienced trainers can help the new people and give them feedback on their training approach and style. While they train each other, a bonding takes place between and among the employees. They come to respect each other and support each other, which makes for a better workplace and a more smoothly functioning operation. Jerry talks to his trainers a great deal about their own self-growth. He asks them what their vision is for themselves and their careers. He asks them where they think their mutual profession of personal training is going. Among other things, he does it to learn himself. The people he hires are usually straight out of college and they've heard the new things the schools are teaching, and Jerry says he wants to learn that. To get a new person started, he usually asks one of the regular clients if they're willing to be the guinea pig and have the new person train them. He promises the client that if they don't like the new trainer, it'll be a freebie. He won't charge them. He says that he's never had to invoke that. The client always accepts the person and pays. Jerry says that the essence of training is getting people out of their comfort zone. And that's not only what he does with his clients physically, but what he does with his trainers in their jobs. He's failed sometimes here because not all the trainers want to grow. Some of them just want to train. Once a month, he gets all the trainers together and they sit around a table. He gives them the big picture of what's happening in the business, what's going well, and what needs to improve. He tries, he says, to light a fire under them, telling them what the competition is doing. And he reminds them that in this business, you must re-earn your reputation every day. He asks them to contribute to the meetings. He asks them, for example, to bring a new theory of training, or a new idea for an exercise, or a way to deal with a specific client training challenge. They discuss client problems, physiology, and the administration of the business. For example, on a recent meeting, they had a big discussion about sit-ups, with everyone sharing their views on which muscles were really involved, the best way to develop the complete set of muscles, and so on. At the meetings, he hands out responsibilities for the things that need to get done: clean, renewals, processing, and so on. He asks for volunteers for each task, but everybody has to do something above the training. But he'll assign it if no one volunteers. He tries to rotate tasks so people don't get stuck with one thing. He always asks them, "Is there anything I can do as the manager to make your job better? If you don't tell me what's wrong, I can't help you fix it." In a recent week, at a meeting of which the owners attended, he told the group of trainers that he was going to leave the room so that they, the subordinates, the employees, could discuss Jerry's performance and give him some feedback when he came back in. The owners were amazed that he would do that, but it worked very well. The main thing that happened was the part-time people said that they wanted more help getting bookings with clients. So Jerry walked them through the difficulties in doing that. Their part-time schedule might not match the client's schedule, and so matching them up could be difficult. But he told them he would do his best for them, but he could not promise to make the problem go away completely. In 2004, the owners realized they had to do something on compensation. A normal target for a trainer is to have 32 appointments per week, plus 8 hours of coverage, other duties in the gym. Jerry presented an idea of a bonus structure if the trainer saw more than a certain number of clients per week. It was modified a little by the owners, but it was accepted and has pleased the staff. He doesn't have control of salaries here, so it's hard for him to discuss with the trainers. He tells them, "If you want more, then show me the extra performance that I can tell the owners about. Help me create the reasons, make the case, so I can go to the owners on your behalf and fight for you." Jerry had one trainer who just wasn't a team player. He didn't share his load in the cleaning up after himself and so on. He was very knowledgeable, but he wasn't doing what Jerry believes in, sharing his knowledge with his clients. Jerry told him, "These things have to be improved or we will have to part." Jerry didn't want to compromise his standards. The trainer said, "I can't do things the way that you want." So Jerry sat down with him to explore the options. Jerry told the young trainer, "I don't want you to leave. I like you. But if you can't meet my standards, you're not going to fit in around here." Jerry continued to work with the young man because he wanted to make sure that everybody gets a fair chance. After 4 months, Jerry stopped assigning him work. The trainer didn't take it well. He said, "It's not fair. I'm a great trainer." And Jerry said, "Yes, you are, but you're not a great employee." Jerry wants all his trainers to become great employees so that if they ever leave his gym and go to work somewhere else, the next employer will say they were well trained. Eventually, the young man got it, and he left with no bad feelings. Jerry thinks that all of this has created a welcome atmosphere for the clients, something they want to be part of. He says it's very professional, and they don't fool around with the training, but it's not an intimidating place. He says it's not a complex process. He has a rule that every trainer must know every client's name within 2 or 3 days, whether they work with that client or not. They have about 100 clients. He wants every trainer to watch what other clients are doing in their training, so that if their regular trainer can't make it, any one of the trainers can pick it up and know the exercise and the levels that the other clients were used to. He's also changed the health history and chart system so that if they have to substitute a trainer, there'll be no problems knowing the special needs of each client. Also, Jerry's in constant touch with all of the clients, making sure that if they have even the smallest concern, it's easy and comfortable for them to talk directly to him. Jerry's personally doing about 30 client appointments a week, and then on average, working an additional 30 hours managing the business. His gym now has, less than 2 years after he took over, four full and four part-time trainers. He has business which is 33% up in the last year, and it's growing still. The owners are very happy with the turnaround. So what are the lessons? Both as a business school professor and as a consultant, it has been my job to teach people how to be effective managers and how to build successful businesses. Jerry seems to have figured it out on his own. Here are some of the management principles commonly taught or advocated to which Jerry implicitly refers. I won't catch all of them. Which ones did you spot? First, the key to giving your clients a great experience is making your people want to give that to them. You can't delight your clients with unhappy people. Hiring people who share your philosophy, values, point of view, and approach makes managing them a lot easier. Be very clear about what your philosophy is. The key to successful management is in the hiring. If you don't get the right people on and off the bus right up front, you won't be able to implement your strategy. Hire for passion and attitude. Never compromise your hiring standards just to meet a volume need. Set high minimums in entry qualifications. To get the best out of people, have clear enforced standards, but together with an empathetic, supportive style. One without the other won't work. Even if people are going to leave, take the high road in dealing with them. All your other people are watching. Never misrepresent, exaggerate, distort, or lie just to get something done or to get someone to join you. People will find out the truth sooner or later, probably sooner, and there will be no benefit if they think you have misled them. You must help your people learn that there is more to serving a client than being technically skilled at what you do. If you focus on being the best, the revenue, growth, and the profits will come, and your people will enjoy it more. Don't be soft. Have very high operating standards that are clearly communicated and strictly enforced. Then give people the freedom to meet the standards without being micromanaged. Work at helping people actually experience what it's like to be a client. They will do a better job as a result of it. Work at creating team bonding by finding ways for people to work together, as well as to get together to discuss common issues. Learn from your people. Let them teach you what they know and what they are discovering as ways to improve your operation. Commit to helping your people grow professionally. Don't let them cruise. If you want people to be accountable, you must go first. Let them evaluate your performance as a manager and let the results be publicly known. No one expects you to solve everyone's problem as a manager. All your people want to know is that you're prepared to work with them to help them overcome the barriers and the obstacles. For all of this emphasis on working with your people, you must never lose contact with your clients. Make sure that you have made it easy for them to talk to you and to raise any concerns they might have. Even though you are a manager, keep practicing your profession to some degree. It will help you to understand and to relate to both your people and to your clients. Now, how's that for a quick and really helpful MBA course? And of course, it's all generalizable. All these lessons apply in other workplaces, even among highly paid people with advanced degrees in glamorous professions, although they don't always like to admit it. This has been A Natural Manager, the first episode in my 15-part series, Managing Professionals, Attitudes, Skills, Behaviors. In future episodes, we'll look at the topics of specifics of coaching, how to relate to different kinds of people, and how to create a team out of a collection of individuals. If you'd like more information or access to other podcasts in this series or the previous series, Marketing Professional Services, go to my website, davidmaester.com. This podcast series is now available for purchase, both as a single episode and as part of a DVD set from my website, davidmaester.com/store, STORE. I'm also pleased to announce that my forthcoming book, Strategy and the Fat Smoker, is available for pre-order from this same location.